first step of his journey to the cross, ultimately, right? And what he did was, while he was here on earth, he spread the news about him. He went on the cross and showed people the news, what it all meant. And he sent out his disciples, and he said, it's time to go out. And so Palm Sunday is the start of it all. But today what I want to look at is something that happens after Palm Sunday, but because of Palm Sunday. And we're going to look at the story of a man named Ananias. And I want to clarify, this is not Ananias and Sapphira. This is not the two of them. This is a different Ananias. This is a good Ananias. But we're going to talk about this man who heard the gospel after Jesus rose from the dead. He heard the gospel in his hometown of Damascus. And we're going to see what he did when he heard about Jesus entering Jerusalem and giving his life. And we'll get to see that, you know, what he got to do, what happened in his life, is something we get to experience in our own lives as well. If we're willing to, as our theme talks about, if we're willing to arise and go. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 9 today. So if you want, if you have your Bibles, your Bible apps, if you have it memorized, you can bring it to the front of your mind. Whatever it is, you can, I also have it on the screen on the back, but I'm going to give you a minute just to look for that. It's Acts chapter 9, starting at verse 10. Starting at verse 10. I love the sound of paper flipping. I'm a paper person. I don't like reading it on my phone and stuff. I'm traditional in that sense. Other ways, I like technology, but that one, I just can't. I don't know. All right, so Acts chapter 9, verse 10. This is just the first three verses we're going to start with. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. It was perfect how we started this morning, because the first thing I want to share with you guys is God speaks to you. That's the first thing, God speaks to you, right? We all got to hear from him today, but I want to show you God speaks to you. The word disciple literally means a learner or a pupil. It's the idea of sticking so close to someone that you become like them, that you begin to look like them. You spend time with them, you hear from them, you see them, and you become like them. The first thing that we see with Ananias, we know he's a disciple because the Bible says a disciple named Ananias. We already know he's a disciple because the Bible tells us he is, but then the Bible proves he's a disciple with two things. The first way he proves he's a disciple, the Bible proves that Ananias is a disciple, is because he hears from God. If you're a disciple, God will speak to you. He will. If God is who you are following, he will speak to you. But the second piece that we see is once God speaks, Ananias says, I'm here. I'm ready to listen. If you're a disciple, what it means is that God will speak to you and you'll be ready to listen. I remember there was this one time, I was probably in elementary school. I might have been early middle school, but I think it was elementary school. And I think you can. I think there's a picture that you can put up, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. So that's my mom and Pastor Tori, my wife. So I'm at the airport. If I remember correctly, we were waiting for someone to show up. So I think we were sitting at like Burger King or something, eating some lunch. And we were just kind of waiting for this person who was coming in at the airport. And then we decided, you know, it was taking a little while. I think the flight got delayed. So we started to walk around a little bit. And I'm still pretty young. Again, I'm in like elementary school. So I'm walking around, and in our airport in Denver, they had planes like hanging from the ceilings inside the airport. It was really cool. I was obsessed with like cars and planes and like vehicle type stuff. I loved going to the airport. And so as we're walking, I see one of these planes and I'm like, well, I'm just gonna walk over to the edge, and not to the edge, to the little banister, and just kind of look at this plane. So I walk away from my mom and sister. It's pretty crowded. And I look at the plane for maybe 30, 45 seconds. I turn around, and my mom's not there. And so I get a little nervous, but I'm like, you know, she's probably close by. So I say, Mom, she's not there. I don't hear anything. Mom? And at this point, I'm like crying. I'm freaking out. I'm going, Mom, Mom, where are you? And then all of a sudden, I hear her voice, and immediately, I whip around and see her. I knew my mom's voice because I spent time with her, because I was with her, because I did things with her. I knew her voice above every other lady that was in that airport. I could tell her voice because I had learned it. When it comes to God, when it comes to hearing his voice, if you're a disciple, you will hear his voice. But what it means is you need to take time to get to know his voice. That means spending time with him in prayer, in worship, reading the Bible, coming to church to be with other believers in times like we had this morning. God will speak to you. And as you spend time with him, he will share things with you. He will share things for you and for people around you. He will. He will share those things with you. And we see that as Ananias hears from God, God does have something for him. And he says this thing. He says, arise and go. He says, rise and go. He tells him all these different details of what he's supposed to do. But this idea of rise and go is a command. It's a command. In Greek and in Hebrew, they don't have punctuation. So the way that you add an exclamation, or the way you add a command, or the way you make something more like, you do this, the way that you do that is by changing the way the verb is spelled. And when we look at it in the original language, what it shows is that what he's saying, you rise and go. He's exclaiming it to Ananias, you do this. And it's not an option, it's a command. He says, you rise and go. He commands it. The word rise shows us a time frame. It shows us that God isn't saying when you feel like it. He doesn't say leisurely pick yourself up. He says, arise, up. He says, get up and go. He says, get up now and go do this thing that I've called you to do. He doesn't say take it leisurely. He doesn't say when God commands us, when God speaks to us, when he says these things, this idea of arise and go is not an option. It's a command. And it's an immediate command. It means get up and go now. I have something for you. I have a task for you. A change in position. That's what going is. It means change where you are to be somewhere else. He says, get up now. I have something different for you. I have something for you to do. And the command that he gives Ananias is a fairly simple one. It's also, in truth, kind of an odd one, as we'll see in a little bit. The command that he gives Ananias is to go and pray that Saul may regain his sight. That's all the command is. Go and pray for this man named Saul that he can see again. Now, here's going to be one of our first skits. You'll get to hear Heidi Mallett, and she will be Ananias.
Here I am, Lord. What would you like me to do? You'd like me to go where? The street called Straight? Yeah, I know the place. Where on that street am I going? The house of Judas? Okay. Who would you like me to meet there? Wait, you want me to meet Saul? And you're saying he's blind right now? And you want me to heal him of his blindness? You know who he is, right? He's the one with the papers giving him permission to kill your followers. Go anyway? Yes, Lord. I have no idea what will become of this, but I will go.
Didn't have any idea why God was asking him to do this. He just understood, arise and go. I need you to do this for me. And what Ananias does is he says, okay, I'm going. I'm going to do it. When Jesus got up on Palm Sunday morning, he knew that when he was walking into Jerusalem, it was the week of his death. But God commanded him, arise and go. And so Jesus, knowing what was going to happen, says, okay. He gets up immediately and goes into the city of Jerusalem. He knows that the purpose there is his death, but the will of his Father was greater than his own life. And as he hears from God, he understands this command, and he says, I will go. My question for you in this first part is, are there things in your life where God has said, arise and go? Are there things in your life where he has said, it's time to get up and do this? It's time to move. It's time to do those things. And yet today, you're here and you're like, I haven't. I haven't shared the gospel with that person God told me to. I haven't invited this person to church that God told me to. I haven't done whatever it is that God has told me, get up and go. I haven't done it. Today is the day to change. Today is the day to repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to do different. Help me do different. Help me change and do what you're asking me to do instead. Now, what God asks us to do, when he asks us to do something, what I want to share, this is the second piece. When God speaks to us, the things he asks us to do, not asks is the wrong word, that he commands us to do, the things he commands us to do are impossible. In Acts chapter 9, verses 13 to 14, it says this, but Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. See, what God asks Ananias to do is something impossible. He says, I want you to go to this person, and I want you to pray that they won't be blind anymore. That's it. But who this person is Saul. Saul is this guy who everyone knows. The Bible says, I have heard many things about him. I've heard from many people about him. He begins to kind of give some details. What we learn is Saul is basically the chief Christian arrester and killer in the area. He's the guy going around. When he hears of a Christian, he does whatever he can to stop them. He does whatever it takes to prevent the gospel of Jesus from being spread. He's the chief hater of people who call on the name of Jesus. This is who this guy is. And ultimately, what we see is he's not even there on like vacation or anything like that. He's specifically coming to Damascus to arrest people like Ananias. He's there for the purpose of arresting and killing Christians. That's his whole purpose of being in Damascus. See, Saul is not just, he's not just this guy who disbelieves in Jesus. He's a guy who's completely against everything about Jesus, and he's actively working against his followers. And God speaks to Ananias, and he says, Ananias, go to him. Pray for him. Not that he'll be a Christian. Listen to that. He doesn't say pray for him that he'll be a Christian. He says pray that this Christian killer can see again. He's blind, but I want you to pray that he sees again. That's what God says to do. He says arise and go and heal this person who wants to kill you. That's the command. That's the command that God gives to Ananias. Now, what I want you to understand, I'm going to have Mia come up. She's going to be doing a skit to kind of show what Saul went through. She's going to be doing a skit that happens actually a little bit before what happens with Ananias. This happens on the road to Damascus. This happens with Saul on his way there. And the key that I want you to understand with this is Ananias doesn't know. Ananias does not know what happened to Saul. All Ananias knows is that he's supposed to pray for someone who wants to kill him. That's it. That's all Ananias knows. But this is what happens to Saul before he gets there. Yep.
Finally, this will be the end of those followers of Jesus. I can't believe people would believe such a ridiculous lie. The God-man is ridiculous. I mean, he was just a man. When I reach Damascus, that'll be the end of his followers. What is this light? Persecuting you. Lord, who are you? Is it really you? Lord, you really are God. Forgive me for what I've done to your people. You'll be sending a man that follows you? Ananias? Why would he come to me? He has to know who I am and why I'm here. That my purpose is to kill and imprison all of your disciples. It would be pretty impossible to believe that a man like him would pray for me. You would forgive me? After everything I've done, you would forgive me. Then I promise to share that forgiveness to everyone I meet.
In his faith, this intense amount of faith, he looks at Saul as family and prays for his healing. And Ananias in this moment had no idea if he would be healed or not. He had no idea if all of this stuff was going to happen aside from his faith in what God had said. And he prays for this Christian killer. He prays for him, and he's healed of his blindness. And I'm going to ask both of our actors to come up this time, and they're going to finish the story.
Brother, I call you brother because Jesus has told me to come and heal you and fill you with the Holy Spirit.
What is happening? I can see again. Thank you, Ananias.
Jesus has healed you. He's the Son of God, Emmanuel.
Right. I understand that now. Well, what should I do next?
God has plans for you to share him with the world. Be baptized and go and do what he tells you to do.
I will begin immediately. Well, why not start here? I will rise and bring that forgiveness everywhere he sends me.
Psalm 19, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." One thing that a lot of people may not understand is lamps in that day and age didn't show you more than like a foot in front of you. Like literally your foot, not like a 12 inches. But they would show your next step. That was it. People didn't go out at night a lot because of that. All they could see was that next step. When it comes to God, he frequently will speak to us in ways that simply show us our next step. He says, arise and go. He says, it's time to get up and go and do this thing. We don't know what the outcome is going to be. We may not know where the path is going to lead. We may not know the end of that journey. But what God is saying today is he's saying, do you trust me enough to take the next step? I'm showing you the next step. Are you willing to take the next step? When we rise and go, we get to be a piece of God's salvation, of his salvation history, like we could never have imagined. After Saul is healed, after he's healed of his blindness, the Bible tells us that he immediately goes into the surrounding cities. He goes into that city where he gets healed. He goes into Damascus, and he goes to the synagogues, the people who sent him to stop Christians. And he goes into these synagogues, and he begins proclaiming that Jesus isn't just a good guy, but he is the Son of God. He has this monumental change, and he immediately begins to share this. It gets to the point where nothing is going to stop Saul. Again, this man who was so bent against Christians is now fighting for Christ and his followers in the same ferocity that he was persecuting them, if not more. All because Ananias was willing to arise and go. The ministry of Saul goes throughout the Middle East and all the way into Europe, which eventually goes all the way to the Western Hemisphere with us, here in America, in South America. If Ananias gets to be a part of this plan of God to not just save one man, but he gets to be a part of the plan of God to save an entire half of the globe because he was willing to get up and go to do what God called him to do. You can just throw up there should just be one more picture. Dominoes always start when you set up, like you can see them on YouTube and all these kind of things. They have these crazy long domino trains or whatever they're called. I don't know actually what they're called. But it always starts right with one piece at the front of it. And when you knock over that one, it starts to hit all the other ones, right? That one piece is the catalyst for everything else. Ananias is the catalyst for all of the Western Hemisphere, for all of us. He's the catalyst. And it was all because God said, arise and go and heal your enemy. Arise and go and heal your enemy. We may never know why God calls us to do something. I highly doubt that Ananias was like, oh, if I pray for Saul, what's going to happen is all of the United States is going to get saved. I doubt he knew that. He didn't even know what the United States was. The idea is this: when God asks us to do something, we get to be a part of his salvation history. It may not be saving a continent, but it may be seeing someone saved. Maybe at your school, maybe at your workplace, there's someone who just, they seem like they are against you every step of the way. They may be the person that God is saying, pray for them. That may be the person that God is saying, share me with them. That may be the person that this week, I'm going to get a little real here, that God may be saying, invite them to Easter. He may be saying, tomorrow's Monday, right? It's your first opportunity to share the gospel with them and invite them to Easter. There may be a family member that's in your house, or maybe not in your house, but just an extended family. There may be someone in your family who they do whatever it takes to kind of bash your faith, to kind of knock you off your faith, and just to kind of be upset and just make you upset over your faith. And they may be the person that sees the rest of your family saved. I'm believing right now for one of my cousins in Europe. Pastor Tori and myself are believing that he will be the reason the rest of my family gets saved. But it's going to take us sharing our faith with him. It's going to take us reaching him so that he can reach the rest of our family. You never know God's plans. All we really know is he says, get up and go. Get up and go. Or maybe that politician that just seems like they're against everything God has said. Maybe God has told you, begin to pray for them. Begin to pray for that politician. And they may be the reason that God's will is done in our country. We never know why God asks us to do something. We never know the effects of what's going to happen afterwards. But what we do know is he's asked us to do it. We do know that he's called us to get up and go. What is God asking you today? Where in your life is God saying, arise and go? Where is he telling you to do that? Palm Sunday is the beginning of the greatest domino effect of all time. He comes in riding on a donkey. Everyone's praising him, everyone's celebrating him, and within less than a week, they're putting a crown of thorns on his head and yelling, crucify him. And in this moment, a domino falls. And this domino reaches the disciples who say, yes, he's really the Son of God, and they begin to share it with all sorts of people. And as they're sharing, Ananias hears the gospel, and he takes it back to Damascus with him. And then God sends him, he says to Ananias, arise and go to Saul. Pray for his healing. Pray that he is no longer blinded. And then Saul reaches half the globe. He brings the gospel to half the globe. We have palm-like branches that you guys are going to be able to take home with you after service. And what I want you to do is when you take those home with you, keep them as a reminder of who God may be calling you to be. You may feel like I've only been able to reach one person in my life. The truth is, even if you just reach one, that one may reach more. Go and do what God has called you to do. Rise and go. Do what God has said. Go to this person. Go to that person. Whatever it may be, whoever it may be, if God's calling you simply to pray for someone, do it. Because you never know the impact that it's going to have. And not just on the life of the person you're sharing with, but on your own life. Ananias is remembered as the man who prayed for Saul, who became Paul and wrote half the New Testament. Ananias gets to be known for that. What does God want you to be known for? This week, this year, tomorrow. What does God want you to be known for? And what we're going to do as we close in prayer, I'm just going to ask, it's a simple prayer. But what I'm going to ask is as we pray, I'm going to count down from 3 to 1. And if today, if you're saying, you know what, God, I'm willing, send me, even if it's to my enemy. If you're willing to take that commitment today, and again, this is a serious commitment. This is, God's going to send you into some crazy stuff. It's all for his salvation history. It's all to his glory. But he'll send you to some crazy stuff. But if you want to say today, God, I'm willing, send me, even if it's to my enemies. When I count down from 3 to 1, I just want you to look up at me. So everyone, you can close your eyes. As we close in prayer, again, once I say one, if you are saying today, God, send me, I'm willing, even if it's to my enemies, I just want you to look up at me when I count down from 3 to 1. So when you hear me say one, just look up at me. 3. This is a serious commitment of saying, God, I'm willing to go wherever you send me. And if you truly believe that in your heart, then say, God, I'm willing to go wherever. 2, he will give you everything you need to do it. Whether the outcome is what you expect or not, he will send you where you need to go, and he will give you what you need to do it. 1, if you're saying, God, send me, just look up at me. If you're saying, God, send me wherever it is, I'm willing, even if it's to my enemies, just look up at me. God, you have seen the commitment here today. You have seen the commitment to say, I will go wherever you call me. I will go wherever you command me to go, and I will do whatever you command me to do. God, I pray as those who have made this commitment here today, that as they leave today and take this palm branch, this palm leaf home with them, that it would be in their home somewhere as a reminder that you will call them to do the impossible. And that you will do miracles because it's impossible. God, give them hope and faith, trusting in you, knowing that your will is perfect, that your plan is perfect. And God, I pray that you would give courage to do all that you may command us to do, including myself, oh God. Give me courage to do what you've called me to do. And I ask all this in your mighty name. Amen.